Well, happy Father's Day to the fathers and grandfathers out there. And we're in our second character study in Hebrews chapter 11. And unbeknownst to us, unplanned, really, is that this happens to be a very challenging, at least to me, Father's Day message. Now, it's for all of us. It was unplanned by me, but it certainly wasn't unplanned by God. And so in your bulletin will be the little passage in Hebrews chapter 11, a couple verses. I'll read that in just a second, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to study the life of Enoch, and here's what Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, and we'll refer back to this. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. That's how I want to go, amen? Like, come on, Lord. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. We'll look at what that means. Verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we're going to look at the life of Enoch today, and I'll start out by doing a little Bible trivia. In our first service, this side was much quicker and snappier than this side, so I'm looking over here. I need to see some smiles over here. I need you guys to rise up here and win this. But let me just talk for a moment about how striking of a character Enoch is in all of the Bible. One of the most striking characters in all of the Bible. Let me just give you a couple of things, then I'll ask a couple of questions. He's an Old Testament character, Genesis 5. I'll read that in a little bit. But there's more said about him in the New Testament than is written about him in the Old Testament. Enoch's name in Luke chapter 3 is in the genealogy. It's in the list for the Messiah, for Christ himself. That would be awesome to have your name written in there. And on Father's Day, he has the unique place as a father who had the son who lived the longest recorded life ever recorded. That son's name was Methuselah. And get this, he lived 969 years. So he fathered the longest living child ever. You can search the scriptures, and we will this morning. There's not one recorded negative word about this guy by the name of Enoch in all of Scripture, from Genesis all the way to the second last book of the Bible, Jude. Now let's do a little quiz. I'll give you like 3 seconds, then I'm gonna ask you to yell out the answer. If you don't get it, no problem. I'll give you the answer. So the unique, striking character of Enoch. He's one of only 2 men in Scripture that it is said that they walked with God. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Who was the other person? So somebody didn't wait the 3 seconds. They had the answer. They wanted to give it out. What did you say? What was the answer? You're wrong. Okay, what? Just yell out. Who do you think it is? Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. He's one of only 2 men in Scripture who did not taste death and was translated to heaven. This should be a little bit easier one. And the answer is Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Third and last trivia question. He's one of only 2 men that it is recorded in Scripture that they pleased God with their life. Who's the other? None other, somebody was in the first service, none other than Jesus himself. Enoch is in rarefied air. Now, there are men and women who have pleased God, but it's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 that he pleased God. The only other person that it said that of them is recorded is Jesus himself. Now, the story is found in Genesis 5, and if you would turn to Genesis 5, and actually I'm going to start in Genesis 4 first. So in Genesis 5, we have the story of Enoch. Now, a little bit of the context. Adam and Eve were very broken parents when Enoch is going to come on the scene. and they had lost both of their boys. We looked at Abel last week. He was murdered by his son Cain, but don't forget, Cain was banished from their presence. And so in that situation, they lost both sons. Now, in the first service, I talked and I realized on Father's Day that that's either a really good day or for people who have lost their father or lost their husband or had a wayward father or had no existent father, that this is a very difficult day. And so Genesis 5 is going to record the godly line of Seth, but we pick it up in Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For he said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh, not Enoch. And notice a little phrase, and I'll come back to it later. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So in Genesis 5, we have the genealogy of the godly line of Seth, like 10 generations. Genesis 5 is going to cover the genealogy from the creation all the way to the flood. So it covers a number of years as far as the genealogy. Now, just as an aside, before we look at Enoch in the middle of this genealogy, numbers of places God has lists of genealogies, and we could say, well, why does God do that? I mean, that's kind of some tough slogging when you're reading through the Bible in a year or whatever. Well, I think if you just step back and you think of the genealogy as really a reminder of God's mercy and God's memory. Now, there's a principle of Scripture that Malachi engraved in Scripture for us, and I want you to mentally get this down here this morning because it impacts us. So here's the principle as it's encapsulated in Scripture. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. So God, if Malachi was a true prophet, and I'm staking my life that he was, is recording the names and the family lines and the genealogies of men and their families, of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. And so when we get to a genealogy, especially in Genesis chapter 5, it's a genealogy of God's recording names of those individuals who are going to call upon his name. And we should just ask very practically, would you be in that list of genealogy were he to write one today? Not primarily physical descent, but a spiritual genealogy. Have you, by faith, inserted your name into that line? Has there been a faith passed down from your parents that you made your own, that you became a part of that? Now, Genesis 5 follows Genesis 3 and 4, obviously, and the curse of sin, the curse from the garden was that God said, you will surely die. And so even in the godly line in Genesis 5 of these 10 or so individuals, death reigns except for Enoch. He's going to be in the middle. But I just want you to see that the consequences of sin are real and that death does reign. And really, Genesis 5 kind of reads like an obituary page in the New York Times, the phrase, he died. So just look at verse 5. Genesis 5. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930, and he died. Verse 8. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11. And he died. Verse 14. And he died. Verse 17. And he died. Verse 20. And he died. Verse 27. And he died. Verse 31. And he died. So God's word is always real. But if you're reading that genealogy and you've come to God and you say, God, my reading today is Genesis 5, help me to get something out of it, then if you're thinking like that before God, then Enoch in verse 21 is going to stand out. Because he somehow, in all these people dying after they had kids, he didn't die, and God wants to arrest our attention and bring us to him. So let me read Genesis 5, starting at verse 18. and we'll go verse 27 so we can get the context. And we're looking at Enoch, who's going to come in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. So Genesis 5 and verse 18. Let me go back here a second. Okay, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Verse 19, Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 20, thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. No kidding, 962 years, I'm putting the white flag out there. Verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, now notice there's going to be a shortness here, even when he was first a father. He fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after, circle the word after, he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 days. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's the Old Testament rapture. Verse 25, when Methuselah had lived 187 years, these numbers are going to be important in just a second, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years. Kids, how would you like your dad to be around for 782 years of your life? No thanks, I'm ready. On Father's Day, that's a good response. And had other sons and daughters, thus all the days of Methuselah, I want you to circle this, 969 years, and he died. Now, if you look at verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, it says he retired. No. He collected his first Social Security check. No. He went on Medicare, Medicaid. No. Say what? Lordy, lordy. He fathered Methuselah. 65 years old, and he became a first-time father. Anybody want to stand up and say, I want to be like Enoch? No, not yet. Notice Enoch walked with God starting the very day he fathered Methuselah, the very day. So Enoch has an extraordinary walk with God. And I just want to just point out four kind of ways to look at Enoch's extraordinary walk with God, and we should say, what is there about Enoch that I could have be a part of my life? How did he live such an extraordinary life that he's in rarefied air in all of Scripture? He has a moniker on his name, he pleased God, that only Christ had. How did he get there? Well, number one is the starting point. I want us to look at and take notice of the starting point in verse 21 through verse 24. Enoch walked with God starting the very day he fathered Methuselah. Notice the word after in the scripture. Verse 22, Enoch walked with God, circle the word after he fathered Methuselah. And then he lived another 300 years, so he walked with God for 300 years, had other sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. So as a first-time father, something happened, and this happens today. Often we'll get first-time visitors at church, and something has happened in their life, and often it's they become mothers and fathers. They have a child. It's like, oh my goodness, I've got a child. I better get serious about life, and I better get serious about God. And some will say, I better go back to the roots that my parents raised them, and I want my child raised in a church environment. There's something about being a first-time father. Now, again, if you would just go back, if you have a Bible, to Genesis 4 in verse 25 and 26, I want you to notice that Enoch wasn't alone in this idea of fathering a child and getting serious about God. It says in verse 26 of Genesis 4, To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, when his son was born, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So here we are, an unintended message, Father's Day message on Father's Day. And I'm saying, if you guys have a ticking heart, if you have any spiritual DNA whatsoever, you should say on Father's Day, man, what a responsibility, what a privilege. Maybe I should take God seriously because of God's blessing of children in my life. Nothing like having a child to get serious about God. Men, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, you cannot pass on to the next generation what you don't possess personally. The godly line, and those children are going to be responsible for believing and receiving individually. You can't do that for them, but you can lead them to the water, amen? Like, God's going to hold you responsible for the culture and the climate that your children were raised in. You can't pass on what you don't personally have. And so I would just say, this unintended Father's Day message, Father, seize the moment, but like you're here. And to whatever degree there's a gap between what a life pleasing to God and walking with God looks like and where you're at, whatever that gap is, you put down the stake right now and you say, no, Lord, help me to close that gap. Let's seize the moment. Take Enoch as your patron patriarch. Now you notice I didn't say patron saint. I said patron patriarch. Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, fathers-to-be, men who want to be fathers. Like, you put Enoch up there and you say, no, I'm gonna study his life and I'm gonna look at his life. I wanna emulate his life. So the moment that he fathered Methuselah, apparently for 300 years, because the Hebrew, the original in the Hebrew says that he walked with God and he continued to walk with God, and there wasn't a time where he didn't walk with God. That's what he didn't have a good day, bad day. Now, he was not perfect, but the testimony of God is for 300 years, that guy walked with me. So the moment he became a father, his heart ran to God. He never gave up. He didn't grow old of following God. His heart wasn't hardened towards God. He had a 300-year testimony. The starting point is being a father to a son. We should take notice. Now, in his extraordinary walk with God, I want you to notice, number two, these are my words, the secret sauce. What was it about this guy that Scripture would put it like a highlight, a flashlight on him amongst all the men and women that lived in the Bible? What's the secret sauce? Well, I want to say this right at the beginning. It wasn't like he had this great godly environment that he was a part of and there was no sin. No. He's going to live before the flood. And if you just turn your eyes to Genesis chapter 6, and let's let God describe the time that Enoch was living in. Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. So what was the secret sauce for Enoch? Well, I think there are a couple of things. And the first thing that kind of stood out to me as I thought about this, as I studied this, is that Enoch must have been wise enough to want to know about the past and learn from the past. And I was like, man, if I could have learned from the past better, I would have been a better father. But let me just show you this in a graph. So this isn't my graph. I stole it off of the internet. But this is gonna have the generations of the people that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. So you see that Adam lived to 930 years, and Enoch's gonna live all the way to the time of the flood. I put the yellow line in there because I want you to see this. So when Enoch was born, Adam was a little over 600 years old. But Adam would have lived another 300 or so years while Enoch was alive. And you have to use sanctified imagination. But everything that Adam had gone through, you don't think he's going to want to pass down the mistakes and the blessings and the promises to anybody who will listen, his generation, even the seventh in line. Surely from Adam, Enoch would have received an account of the creation. Can you imagine Adam saying, yeah, and God let me name the animals, and then this happened, and he gave me a helper, and this is what paradise was like. And then we were given this test, and man, we failed the test. I can't believe we failed the test. And you know, God said that surely there'll be consequences, and man, the fall was horrible. And you know, God told us to leave paradise, and he put us on the outside of paradise. But he made us a promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And so I think Enoch, part of Enoch is he was a wise enough man that he learned from the past. I could see Enoch going up to Adam and saying, you know, Adam, you've lived a long time. I don't know if you can remember all the way back to the garden, but I'm assuming you can. What was it like to walk where God walked? Like, you tell me about that. So he was wise enough. But here's one thing I know for sure. And we have to put our thinking caps on, and we have to put scripture together. But the secret sauce, I think, for Enoch was not only that he was wise and he wanted to know and he learned from generations above, but he had a direct revelation from God. God specifically spoke to Enoch. Now, let me put a couple of scriptures together, and it was a blessing to me this week. Let me bless you with something that I think is the secret sauce of Enoch walking with God. Well, Jude, the second last book of the Bible, says this about Enoch. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, that's what we find out in Genesis 5, prophesied. So let's just stop right there. A prophet, again, is somebody that hears from God and speaks for God. They're not coming up with their own message. They're not saying, hey, if you were a godly man, you'd be a Cardinals fan, you know, something like that. No, a prophet. And it says that he prophesied, hears from God, speaks for God. So Enoch, I'm assuming, based on this, heard from God. And what is he going to say on behalf of God? Notice what he says. This was his message as he lived for the Lord. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones. So he's saying to anybody who listened, God's coming back, verse 15, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God's coming back and he's going to judge. That's the message. He got this from God. Now, what would a man of faith do if he got this kind of message from God? Well, a man of faith would act on it. And in a very simple way, I want to show you, and this is what faith does, even in the small things, the person who walks with God is going to obey God. There's nothing too small. And let me show you how even naming his son Methuselah was an act of faith and obedience by God. Now, let me show it. Methuselah. Do you know of any child named Methuselah? I mean, you wouldn't want to do that because short for Methuselah would be, hey, Meth, come on over here. You know, we don't want to do that. Here's what Methuselah means in the Hebrew. When he is dead, it will be sent. What? That's what I'm going to name my son? I've got 5 kids, 16 grandkids. I know they're going to come through for me. I'll have 5 or 10 more before this is all over with. That's a joke. And if I hear the news, Jake or one of the kids call, hey, Dad, I just had a son. What are you naming him? Hey, tell me what his name is so I can tell everybody. Well, here's his name. When he's dead, it'll be sent. That's what you're, I mean, there's crazy names today, amen. Not that. Well, why would he name his son that? Well, let me show you. I'm glad you asked. Let's do some math today, but it's going to be simple math. Scripture says, and I read it to you, Methuselah lived 969 years. His name means when he is dead, it will be sent, right? That's what it means. So here's what Scripture has to say. In verse 25, we find out that Methuselah fathered at 187 years of age, he fathered Lamech. 182 years later, it says in Scripture that Lamech fathered Noah. It says it right in our passage. If you turn to Genesis chapter 7 in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the seventh day of the month, on the day that all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of the heaven were opened, the flood came. So God said, name your son Methuselah. Methuselah means when he is dead, it will come. So how old was Methuselah when the flood came? He was 969 years old. The very year Methuselah died, the flood came. God said, when he is dead, it will come, the flood. Methuselah died, in my mind, and the rain came down. So think about this. Enoch takes God at his word, receives a prophecy from God, acts on it, and names his first son because of it. No wonder it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of the old received their commendation. Enoch didn't get to see that, but exactly how God said, 969 years, the flood will come. Now, just for a moment, and I need to move on, but just for a moment in this idea of what's the secret sauce, let's just talk just for a moment about walking with God. If you did your own study, I encourage you to do it. You'll be blessed. Just Thursday or Friday, I looked up the first 30 passages in Scripture, got a Bible program, walking with God or walking. And here's what you'll find in Scripture. Whenever the Scripture talks about a walk with God, it's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about a pattern of life. It's talking about a way of life. And so let's just pull that back and make it very practical. So if you're going to walk with God, it's going to be a series of small steps in the same direction over a period of time. Enoch was 300 years. Now, if you're going to walk with God, you're always going to go against the culture of the day. Enoch almost individually walked against the wicked culture that God was eventually going to wipe out with the flood. If you're going to walk with God, you have to do your own walking. Somebody cannot walk for you. Somebody cannot walk for you. You have to do your own walking. Walking with God is not a casual stroll. There'll be days it'll seem like that. But God wants it to be the walk of a lifetime. Walking with God is a personal choice. It's open to everyone. God desires it. And without being flippant, could I say this? God is looking for a walking partner. He's looking for somebody that will walk with him. And men, I often think of the ladies will go on walks and they're looking for a walking partner, and that's awesome. And I know men do the same as well. God's looking for a walking partner. Now, let's just take a step down a little bit farther practically. What would it look like for us, men, women, children, young, old, to walk with God? Well, you'd be taking God at his word. You're not going to walk with God during the day if you don't start with God in the morning. So it's going to be getting into his word. It's going to be having a time of prayer. It's going to involve a holiness of life, or at least a desire. God said, be holy for I am holy. So according to Hebrews, you're going to be getting rid of things that keep you from walking. It's going to involve following after God. He'll walk with you, but he's leading. He's not joining your walk, you're joining his. Amen. And it involves prioritizing, have the mindset of pleasing God with your life. It involves being faithful in the small day-to-day things. Now, you don't have to tell me about what kind of husband Enoch was. If it says that he walked with God and he pleased God with his life, then I already know what kind of husband he was. Enoch, if he walked with God, he loved his wife unconditionally. I don't need the scriptures to go on and on about that. He had eyes only for his wife. He honored her and treated her like precious china. And he led her spiritually. I don't have to have scripture tell me about what kind of father Enoch was. If he walked with God and he was pleasing to God with his life, then he cared about his kids, he protected his kids, he prioritized his kids. He set a godly example for his kids. He led them spiritually, and he took responsibility for their spiritual upbringing. So the secret sauce is being faithful to God in the small things. Number three, and more quickly, the third thing we should think about when we think about the extraordinary walk of Enoch with God is that it had a very sudden ending. Hebrews 11 and verse 5 and Genesis 5, 21 through 24 said God just took him. And he took him after 365 years. That's a long time for us. But if you notice in the list, that's about a third to less than half of the normal lifespan of that day. God took him early. He was missed because it said that they looked for him and he wasn't found. God had just taken him. That's how I want to go, amen. I just God, come on and take me. Even Elijah, when he was translated, says 50 good men were looking for him. Now, here's what I would say about a sudden ending. Walking with God is not a guarantee of a long life, but it is a guarantee of eternal life, amen? Walking with God. Every child of God today lives with the same hope as Enoch. Now, let me read, and this will be a sermon for another day. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, then Enoch, and predominantly Christ, but Enoch is the first to go straight from earth to heaven without passing through death. And this will be the hope of a believer. If you're a follower of Christ today, we believe that one day the imminent return of Christ is going to happen. A trumpet's going to blow. The dead in Christ are going to rise from the dead. And we are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the air. And so we will ever be. So we're looking forward to that. But let me read it for you so you don't take my word. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That's a phrase for a believer who has physically died. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, that could be us, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. They have to go first. Their bodies are 6 foot farther down than we are. So they come, and then those who are alive verse 17, who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Are we thankful that Christ is coming back? We should be. But you're not going to be if you don't have a walk with God. You're going to dread that day. You're not going to be blessed by thinking about that day. So it had a sudden ending. And then lastly, I mean, you can't look at the walk of God and the life of God that was pleasing to God unless we consider, and we're going to do this right here as I close, the sobering message. Now, there's beauty in the sobering message of judgment is coming. Okay, now I want you to think with me. Help me out. Who was the longest living human ever recorded in Scripture? Say it loud. Methuselah. Why is he? Is it a coincidence? Well, wait a second. God said when he dies, judgment comes, right? Well, why would he be the longest living person ever to live? God doesn't want judgment to come. It's going to because we're sinners and he's a holy God. But he delays and he delays and he delays and he delays. Because he doesn't want judgment to come. He wants the message of the gospel to go out and change lives and have lives radically changed towards him. So for 969 years of Methuselah's life, the raging waters of God's wrath are knocking on the dam of God's mercy, and at some point the dam breaks. And what happened at the flood, God says there's another judgment coming. It's appointed for men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Let me read for you 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Put these scriptures together. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, real close to 969, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Enoch was like, I named him Methuselah, and dude, you said when he's not dying. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Some count slowness. I want you to see the beauty of God right here. We're 2,000 years after the cross. You better see the beauty of Christ right here. But he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up. This is Enoch preaching to his generation. This is Peter and the Spirit preaching to ours. And the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Do you have an exit strategy for this earth? Do you? Do you know Christ? Are you sure if that day comes that you're going to be taken off of this earth? It's why he's patient. It's why it's been 2,000 years and he hasn't come back. Someday he's coming back. As I read the scriptures, it could be any day. Verse 11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of person, brothers and sisters in Christ, ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, but according to his promise, if you're Enoch-like, you take him at his word, we're waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Do you know him? If your name was Methuselah, and you knew when I am dead, it will come, when you die, what will come for you? I nailed my stake to the cross 40 years ago. When that day comes, when I physically die, if he doesn't take me for, I'm going to heaven, not because of me, because of Christ, amen? It's appointed for men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has, the moment you believe, crossed over from death to life. Praise God for his finished work on the cross, amen? Now let me close by having all of the men, teenagers and above, fathers, grandfathers, men, all of you, if you would just stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. So all of the men, it's Father's Day. I know you're not all fathers. Teenagers on up. If you want to, you're younger than a teenager, you want to stand? I want you to stand. Men, I'm standing with you. God is looking for a walking partner. He's looking for somebody who wants to walk with him, who has the priority of pleasing him. And my prayer is that as Lakeside continues to share the gospel in the community, that within the community of Lakeside, in the Lakeside family, we will have men who are Enochs, who are radically sold out for God. And so I'm just going to pray here in just a second that we would individually, and maybe while I'm praying, maybe you need to say to God, either I don't have a relationship with God, but thank you for dying on the cross for me, or Father, I do have a relationship with you, but there's a gap kind of between me walking with you and pleasing with you. I know some of the things that are causing the gap. Lord, would you take them? Would you help me to remove them from my life? I want to walk with you. What did Micah record? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice in God's eyes, to love kindness in God's eyes, and to walk humbly with your God? Let me pray for you and myself. Father, you see the men, young and old, standing. And Lord, when we're in our right spiritual mind, we want to live for you, we want to walk with you, we want to please you. And we get out into the current of the world, and often we get swept away. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, bring each one of us that are standing here right now, would you convict us in our hearts to make a commitment to put our flag down for you, and at this moment to walk with you, to please you, imperfectly, yes, to follow you, to be holy as you're holy. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, and they're not even on the path, they're not even able to walk with you because they don't have a relationship, they don't have their sins forgiven, they've been separated from you, I pray right now, just while they're standing, or maybe it's one of the ladies that are sitting, Lord, would they just trust in your finished work on the cross? Would they say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior? Please take my sins away. Give me that life. I want to live the life of Enoch. Lord, would you bless our men, young and old, that we could be Enochs in our generation. In Christ's precious name, amen.